Hey, everybody. Thanks a lot for joining. My name is Matthew. Today, we're going to take a look at the bank account of the United States Treasury. How much money is in it? All right. So this is actually my 50th daily video here on economics, money, and macro, and all the rest. Thank you very much for joining. And if you've been with me from the beginning of the year, I really, really appreciate it. I certainly plan on doing these for a long time. I'm enjoying it. Certainly let me know if you have anything in particular you'd like me to take a look at. So as we've been doing over the past week, I know I mentioned I'll jump into interest rates in the last video, but I thought of something after I finished filming that I needed to clear up, actually. And also, it was yesterday, late my time here in Europe, the Federal Reserve published their weekly balance sheet, which I have gone over in light of all of the banking runs and bank crises in the United States and abroad. And so I just figured let's look at one more here on the balance sheet, and we can talk about the bank account of the Treasury as well, which I haven't mentioned yet. So here's the balance sheet, one monetary epoch, the second monetary epoch here from 2008, obviously crazy times. Quantitative tightening, they've been trying to do it over the last year, all the way until 3 weeks ago, basically March 8th. This was Wednesday, March 8th publication, $8.3 trillion. This was down $600 billion from, they almost hit $9 trillion here in 2022. They did not. Perhaps that was a voodoo line for them they didn't want to cross. Quantitative tightening was going on, cut the balance sheet down by $600 billion. That generally means they cut the money supply, the base money supply, by $600 billion. I'll elaborate more, as always, on that. 3 weeks ago, roughly, they reversed that. They bumped it $300 billion. All right, so they reversed their quantitative tightening by 50%. And last week, they bumped it another $100 billion, i.e., in the last 2 weeks, they have bumped the balance sheet $400 billion compared to the last year where they've tried to cut it $600 billion. And I was curious to see, especially in light of the general news about the banking sector, but obviously with the rate hike that was announced last week, the quarter point rate hike, how would that shake out on the balance sheet? Well, it indeed has come back down just a little bit, not even $30 billion, but this is generally in line when you see rate hikes. That means the quantity of money will fall generally, not always, but indeed that has happened over the last week. So this is how it looks. This is the Federal Reserve's balance sheet. So this is the first thing I wanted to show you. And the second thing I wanted to show you, as I mentioned in the intro, is the general account that is the main bank account of the Treasury. And there's a little bit of a mea culpa here because I accidentally showed you a figure that was too all-encompassing yesterday for bank reserves. It was actually total deposits at the Fed. That was my mistake. So it doesn't really change the picture, but it does a little bit, and we'll clear it up here. So banknotes, this is a main portion of the monetary base, has been since the very beginning, although at the very, very beginning, there was barely any Federal Reserve notes printed. They started a few years after, interestingly, at the exact same time that the United States entered World War I. Obviously, the paper that you know and love or hate, in your wallets, under mattresses, in grocery stores, $100 bills in Europe and abroad, this is here. This is what that is. This is the entire stock of money. Cash money that the Federal Reserve has printed over its lifetime, $2.27 trillion. Then we have this. This is the other part, the other main part of the monetary base, i.e. the printing press, i.e. central bank money, the bank reserve account. And this is basically, today in this day and age, this is digital money. This is wholesale money. So the dark green is retail money. It's for you and me. The light green is wholesale money. It's for the banks. Bank reserves. All right. Both of these things are ex nihilo, printed by the Federal Reserve. Nothing, we can't do anything to stop them. This is their monopolistic right per the Federal Reserve Act. They ex nihilo from nothing, print this money, and then they buy assets with it. And those assets, you can see, are represented by the total balance sheet in the black line. So you're not necessarily wrong if you call the total balance sheet the black line, the monetary printing press, but that's not precise. What is precise is right here. This is the monetary base. This is the printing press, what you see in green. Now, yesterday I showed you a figure, as I just mentioned. Unfortunately, sorry, I really try to be precise here and not make too many mistakes. This is the first week that I've actually spent looking at weekly balance sheets in such detail for you. Usually I do this stuff on a monthly basis. So everything I've showed you in the past is correct on a monthly basis, but there was a little bit of a hiccup here. So what I showed you yesterday, and I called reserves, the light green portion, actually included all other deposits with the Fed, and the main other type of deposit is right here in red. So this was erroneously put together, as well as a few other foreign deposits, a few other non-base money deposits. But by and large, it doesn't change the picture very much. Nonetheless, let's sort it out here. So the red item, what is this? Treasury General Account. This is what I said I'm going to get to. This is the bank account for the United States Treasury. I.e., if you are like me, you are a United States citizen, you pay taxes. Theoretically, this is your bank account with the Federal Reserve. Theoretically, we own the Treasury, right? Theoretically, we are the taxpayer. The money is ours to spend as we perhaps usually don't see fit, but as our representatives see fit. This is the Treasury's bank account, the main bank account of the Treasury. So let's take out the monetary base now, the correct reserve amount, and the notes amount. Really, everything I showed you before 2002 didn't change at all as far as reserves go, and I didn't show you the Treasury account, but you can see in general it's been a very small proportion of the balance sheet. Certainly has bounced up at certain times, usually in times of instability, we can say. There was high inflation, stagflation here in the 70s, but it was a small proportion of the Fed's balance sheet, as you can see. I mean, you know, we're talking trillions, right? $9 trillion, $8 trillion balance sheet value today. The Fed's balance sheet in the 70s was $134 billion. It's kind of interesting to think about. And then if we go back to the very, very beginning, there were two kind of spikes. You can kind of see them both here. One, when the U.S. entered World War I, and the second, when the U.S. was about to enter World War II, but not quite just yet, the end of the 30s. Turmoil, of course, still the entire 30s from the Great Depression. I don't know the exact ins and outs of why that happened at that time, but they were spiking. And this actually, as a proportion of the balance sheet, was probably the biggest spike until today. So $500 million here, you see. The balance sheet is $2 billion. That's 25%. The Treasury account as a proportion of the Federal Reserve's entire balance sheet was 25%, which was a large figure at the time here on the outbreak of World War I, or the outbreak of the United States' involvement in World War I. So that's that. But in general, the Treasury's bank account is not very big. And why is it not very big? Let's zoom in again here. Why is it not a big account at the Federal Reserve? Well, that's because the Treasury always spends the money that they take in. So primarily the money that they take in is via taxes. Of course, they do take in money from borrowing, but that's immediately as well spent. But it is true, taxes and borrowing are the two primary means that the Treasury takes in money. So, you know, you can imagine whenever we've paid our taxes, I imagine you do this electronically now, or your employer withholds them and also files them electronically, pays for them electronically. Back in the day, the United States was predominantly a system of checks, especially government-facing entities. So you're going to be sending a check to the Treasury. So the Treasury receives checks, they receive payments, but then they immediately spend them, almost immediately. There's budget, there are things to pay for, government grows, and that's why generally this account can be big, right? I mean, billions of dollars big. $2 billion here, $7 billion in 1976. It's a lot of money. But it never stays that large, because taxes come in and taxes go out. So that's why it's not a huge number. Until, of course, we get to here. Specifically after the global financial crisis, this number gets bigger. We can see, let's zoom in now. Okay. This is where everything changes, right? Post GFC, Ben Bernanke, telling Milton Friedman. And by the way, I've mentioned this in the past few videos. This was Milton Friedman's 90th birthday in 2002. It was not the end of the 90s. It was his 90th birthday in 2002, where Ben Bernanke said, "You're right. We caused and exacerbated the Great Depression. We're never going to do that again." And he was true to his word. Helicopter Ben, they called him, printing money. QE1, 2, and 3. And then, of course, his successors, Yellen and Powell, they have ensured that even though Yellen was trying to do some QE and Powell here as well, they had to stop that after this repo market seizing up, repo market hiccup here in September 2019, and then, of course, during COVID. So the big one is here during COVID. All right, you see I have the little person here representing the Treasury's account. Why do I have that? Because it's your and my account if we're taxpayers. This is our bank account with the Federal Reserve. So where it's gone from, you know, of course, back in the 70s, a couple billion dollars. Post-GFC, it's gone up to multiples of, you know, tens of billions, 50, 60, 100 billion at times, right? But here it really explodes, okay? It goes from 300, 400 billion during the repo crisis, end of 2019, start of 2020, explodes to 1.8 trillion dollars, about the max here, in the summer of 2020. Now, let's walk through this, okay? COVID started here, March, April 2020. The balance sheet exploded. Everybody knew that we weren't going to work, and everybody, not even just the United States, made a conscious decision that we're going to give as much aid and stimulus as we can to people, to businesses, as doors are going to need to be shut because of the pandemic, okay? So the balance sheet is exploding, all right, right now. See it? It's exploding. Look at the little bank icon. Federal Reserve's balance sheet is exploding. I'm stopping it right now in April 2020. Most of the initial explosion of the balance sheet is done. Look at the TGA. It has not fully exploded yet. See that? So the TGA at this point is definitely higher. Multiples higher. It's $950 billion, almost $1 trillion. It's a lot of, it's a record as far as the Treasury's bank account inside the Federal Reserve, their main bank account, is exploding. But it has not fully exploded. It's going to double in the next few months. Okay, so why did it keep exploding? Why did it keep expanding the Fed's balance sheet? Well, for that, let's put back the reserves, the fully correct amount now. Remember, reserves here, the light green area, this is bank money. This is wholesale money. This is part of the monetary base. So anytime that the Federal Reserve believes that they need to give banks more liquid, safe money, they're going to buy treasuries, not from the Treasury itself. They're going to buy it in the open market from banks. And it's, of course, as I've mentioned, not a free open market. Banks are highly monopolistic licensed entities, but this light green shaded area is literally the Federal Reserve taking Treasury securities from banks and giving banks bank reserves. All right. It's a liability for the Fed, but it's an asset for the banks. So this is why we call it bank reserves. It's bank money. And we can see that that's the majority of the explosion in the balance sheet is bank reserves. You see that? It's happening even quicker than the Treasury general account. However, we see that bank reserves start to taper off here and the TGA starts going more. As I showed you, let's just take it off again. So you see that, you know, look at the total balance sheet. It's quite high, 6.6 trillion. But then we need to go up, you know, another 600 billion there to level it out. And that, of course, where does that come from? It doesn't go into bank reserves. It goes into this TGA account. So why did that happen? Well, the primary reason was the Federal Reserve, and this isn't the first time they've done it. You can ask any president who has asked the Federal Reserve to lower interest rates for a re-election. But they have basically compromised in a direct way their independence. Okay, so the Treasury has no influence per se, theoretically, on monetary policy. They do issue bonds, but the bonds are sold into the market, right? Banks buy them, pension funds buy them, hedge funds buy treasury bonds, foreign governments or foreign banking entities buy treasury bonds. The Federal Reserve doesn't buy them directly, okay? Here, they bought them directly. The decision was made, basically, by the Federal Reserve that we're going to need to directly purchase securities, government treasuries, because we're afraid what that will do to yields, i.e. skyrocket, i.e. the price fall, because there's not enough demand for United States Treasury securities in the market. both from banks, foreign banks, and basically everybody in the market, we're going to have to step in. That's what the Federal Reserve is telling itself, and that's what it tells the Treasury, and that's what it does. The Treasury itself, and of course the Federal Reserve as their buddy, is worried that there's not going to be enough demand for treasuries. So they wanted to step in and fill some demand for treasuries during this emergency period when people thought the world was ending. So that's what they did. That's what this is. Okay, so this is literally the Federal Reserve with a direct crediting of their account. Literally, this is a liability for the Federal Reserve, both for the banks and for the Treasury. This is the liability portion of their balance sheet. So the red thing is the red shaded area is a liability for the Federal Reserve. It is an asset for the Treasury. They literally print the money ex nihilo, purchased the Treasury securities directly from the Treasury here, directly. And that's why this TGA account is now so big. It reflects the Federal Reserve taking treasuries that the Treasury sold at auction directly, and they were credited with money directly. All right, so this was, again, as so many things since the GFC, this was without really precedent. This was new, novel. This was new stuff. And so that's what they did. Now, let's take off reserves again. So all of this has to do with the explosion of the balance sheet of the Federal Reserve again during COVID. But you might wonder, so why did this go up? And then why did it, you know, relatively quickly come back down? And how did it come down relatively quickly? Well, what is the key word that we heard a lot surrounding the Treasury and individuals, consumers, businesses? What was the key word that was used here when there was so much uncertainty and businesses had to shut their doors? Stimulus. Stimulus. That was the key word here during the COVID pandemic, especially at the outset. Nobody knew how long this would last. It was emergency days for the Federal Reserve and for the Treasury and for everyone around the world. So they decided to give a lot of money to society. All right, that can be in the form of retail stimulus checks that you got in the mail personally, or business stimulus checks, or, you know, perhaps some wires as well. But the Treasury, like most of the banking system, actually at its core still operates on checks. So this is mostly literally checks, stimulus checks. So, and when you get a stimulus check, what does it say? Does it say pay to the order of your name from the Federal Reserve? No, it says from the Treasury. It's a check drawn on the Treasury, on the Treasury's bank account. So it says from the United States Treasury. So you can see that that's how it works. That's what this is. This is stimulus checks. This is stimulus. So once those checks get cashed, the Treasury no longer has them. It's off the Treasury's account. And that's why this falls. So this is literally stimulus checks. Now, this is more direct, and definitely everybody knew this. This had a more direct risk of price inflation than even here. And I know I haven't talked about interest rates yet. I will with interest on reserves. But here, this was just buying bad assets, getting them off the books of banks, directly bailing out banks. But that money wasn't lent back out as it usually is, as bank reserves usually are when they were only, you know, a couple billion here as the base of the system pre-2008. What was happening here was Ben Bernanke said, okay, let's bail everybody out, but let's not have them push those reserves right back into the system in form of new loans. Let's pay them interest on their reserves so they don't loan them out. And that has continued to this day. So a lot of this is basically just bailout money. It's replacing bad assets with good assets, i.e. federal deposits, bank reserves. And that's not the case here. That's not the case because literally there was nowhere else to turn. Banks weren't buying treasuries. Foreigners weren't buying treasuries. The Federal Reserve needed to buy treasuries. That's what this red shaded area is. They bought them directly. The Treasury was credited directly from the Federal Reserve. The Treasury now had cash to pay stimulus checks. They pay the stimulus checks. The stimulus checks get cashed, i.e. into the broader money bank system. And then this liability starts to fall. So it went up a little bit again here, you see in 2022. But this liability was generally falling to where now it's only $163 billion. Peanuts compared to what it was, right? 10% of what it was, but it's certainly still higher than, you know, the 4 or 5 billion than it was pre-2008, but much lower than during the thick of the crisis. So this is indeed direct both monetary inflation once these checks are cashed into the banking system, and it's a risk of price inflation, which is precisely why, and I'll show you interest rates soon enough on this channel, the Federal Reserve has had to raise interest rates here and lower the value of their balance sheet here to fight that price inflation that they caused during this period. So that's what this is. That's what this is. That's how it works. That's why we had an emergency and the Federal Reserve had this solution that they needed to step in and buy treasuries directly, kind of as this lender of last resort idea. But in this case, it wasn't even a lender of last resort to the banking system. It was a buyer of the last resort of treasuries with its arguably non-arm's length sister, or I usually like to say marriage partner. I'm not sure who's the husband, who's the wife, but its partner, the Treasury. So that's what it did. It was literally the buyer of last resort of treasuries during this period. So there are risks here of this money directly getting into the banking system. As well, they stopped having the reserve ratio at this point. So it doesn't even matter how much money is in a bank account now. They don't even have to hold base money being reserves or a portion of the notes. Of course, it's a very small portion that's actually in vault cash, but that's base money as well as part of the reserve ratio. It doesn't really matter how much banks hold in reserves. These treasury checks, whatever comes into the broader banking system right now, there is no reserve ratio for anybody. So that's another interesting thing that has occurred after March 2020. And so, yeah, so this is a unique deposit on the Federal Reserve's balance sheet, and it is indeed unlike what I erroneously showed you in the last two videos, dear viewer, dear listener. This is not part of the monetary base. So that deposit value was just some random weekly value that I unfortunately didn't look hard enough at from the Federal Reserve. This is the actual reserve balance is in green. The red is the Treasury's account with the Federal Reserve, the main Treasury banking account. And then of course we have this whole new animal that has popped up in the last few years as well, the reverse repurchase agreement. Talked about this a lot in the last video. This is basically base money, and I'm using quotes here, base money for non-banks. So again, this is different than the Federal Reserve's mandate ever has been. They have never credited this much money to broker-dealers, money market funds. Specifically, this is mostly going to money market funds. Again, the repo market, as I've said before, and I have a whole separate series of videos showing this as part of my money supply series, the repo market is trillions and trillions of dollars. No one even knows the exact amount. You're getting close to $10 trillion, okay? But the Federal Reserve has 2.5, 2.6, even the latest was, 2.65 trillion dollars worth of repos on their balance sheet. And again, this is a confusing nomenclature. These are repos for the Fed. You always count up bank money by the liability side. So these are liabilities, i.e. repos for the Fed. They use the nomenclature of the counterparty, right? So this is just like bank reserves is the nomenclature of the counterparty. Reverse repos, that's the nomenclature of, that's the money market fund. Anybody that holds a reverse repo, it's the opposite of a repo. Basically, treasury securities that are being levered up, rehypothecated, trading like cash. The Federal Reserve, after playing basically no part in this market for a century, has increased this slowly during and post GFC until the last few years, as well as part of the whole COVID stimulus, giving more liquidity to everybody package that they are doing, has exploded this to now where reverse repos are 30% of their balance sheet. And I'm going to put up, I never did this percentage before, thankfully, even though I had a little bit of a different deposit number for reserves. The actual reserves to the balance sheet as of this moment are a little bit more than a third, 40%. So this is how it looks. This is the anatomy of the liability side of the Federal Reserve's balance sheet. You can see that it's changed a lot in recent years. They're doing things they've never done before. Again, just to run through this, the dark green is banknotes, Federal Reserve notes. Those are all over the world, including a very small proportion in banks, in vaults. The light green is wholesale cash. This is a ledger entry. This is digital money that banks hold with the Federal Reserve. When the Federal Reserve wants to inject money into the system, they buy treasury bonds, particularly from banks. They do the same thing, essentially, with the reverse repos, except it's now going to non-banks. That's the blue. And then the red is when there's literally nobody else to buy treasuries. The Federal Reserve steps in directly and buys treasuries. This is the first time they've ever done it at such a scale, at such a proportion of the balance sheet. It was 1/5 to 1/6 of the balance sheet at any time here during the peak of the pandemic and the emergency scare that everybody had during this time. And that is basically, these are the four main components of the balance sheet, where historically it was only the two green items. And again, just to be completely clear here, the green items, they are base money. Okay, so if you want to be completely precise, the dark green, the light green, that's base money, the core of the banking system. But this blue item is basically base money, but it doesn't have that name, for non-banks, you know, a whole new era, a whole new type of institution that the Federal Reserve is interacting with, this reverse repo facility. And then the red is money that the Treasury cannot lend out, can't do anything. The only thing the Treasury can do is spend it or send out stimulus checks. So the red money is the Treasury's account with the Federal Reserve, which usually, historically, has never risen above a few percentage points of the Fed's balance sheet because they're always spending money. So this is the makeup of the Federal Reserve's balance sheet on the liability side on a weekly frequency. Thank you very much for watching. Take care.